Football is finally back. My friends at Scana Energy can help you save when you fire up the grill for game day. Right now, receive up to $100 when you sign up for the 36-month fixed rate. Call now 1-877-GO-SCANA or visit scanaenergy.com/100. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Got my Costco list from Mama. That's where I'm going after this.
Kinky.
And now, it's time for FinCast.
Boom, shakalaka.
Wide receiver and fan favorite Brian Finneran is talking Dirty Bird football. Powered by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Looking for Finneran, who leaps into the air, a touchdown.
FinCast starts now.
Well, it might be Christmas time in America, but it is Halloween in Atlanta because the Falcons are back from the dead. You are listening to FinCast, brought to you by Scana Energy, alongside Brian Finneran, B-Fin 6. I'm Tyler Nelson. Ben, Falcons put another W on the board.
Find a way to win. Jacksonville helped them out a couple times. 21-14 victorious. The defense really is a story, in my opinion. You did found a way to keep the Jaguars out of the end zone. Ben, don't break. And Dean Pease has those guys flying around and playing. Jaguars are not a good football team.
Nope.
They're 2-9, I believe, and last in their division. You got to take advantage of those games and find ways to win, and you put yourself back in the mix as far as the postseason's concerned.
As I was just looking at the standings, not just in the NFC South, but the NFC, the Falcons at 5-6 would be second, as they are in the NFC South, in three of the four divisions in the NFL.
It's amazing. It's the parity this year is really amazing. We watched Jacksonville a few weeks ago beat the Buffalo Bills, who everybody had as God's gift to the Super Bowl this year, 9-6. So football is a funny thing. Balls bounce a certain way. Guys make stupid mistakes throughout the course of a game. You cause fumbles, you get interceptions, you block punts, you do whatever, and next thing you know, you find yourself at 5-6, and it doesn't feel that great. Watching that game,
the passing game was not exciting. I mean, obviously, we don't have Ridley, and it was just dink and dunk.
You're never going to, in my opinion, you're not going to have Ridley anymore this season. So we can put that to bed.
Yeah, I think so too.
For whatever reason he's decided, whether it's mental issues or personal reasons or whatever it might be, we can stop talking about Calvin Ridley because, you hate to be blunt about it, but he's pretty much not on this football team. He hasn't been in the facility from what I've heard. He's not up there, and he's really put this team in a bind passing-wise. Well, thank God Scordarrelle Patterson has showed up. That dude loves the end zone.
Man, he had a game.
He loves football. He had 16 carries, 108 yards. He also caught two big passes for 27 yards. Scored a couple of touchdowns as well, I believe. So
He didn't miss the NFC Player of the Week by much. And it was Fournette over in Tampa Bay, I think, and he had four touchdowns.
Exactly.
He deserves the nod, but Scordarrelle Patterson did not miss it by much. He had a game, man.
You win football games with guys like that on your football team. And you lost the week prior, and you really looked bad, didn't score 1 point. And you bounce back this week. He comes back, gets a week off. His ankle was hurting him throughout the course of the game. You saw his ankle was spatted up. And when you spat your ankle, that's when you tape the ankle on the inside, and then you put your shoe on and your socks and everything.
And tape it again.
And you tape it on the outside as well. And I've had to do that a couple times in my playing career. I actually, at one point, I had a Nike contract my whole football career.
Look at you.
Love Nike shoes. They fit great. I had like a narrow foot. For whatever reason, I love Nike. Gloves are great too. I tell you that because I sprained my ankle a few times playing, and I started spatting my ankle up. And I got a note from Nike. Because when you spat your shoe, you cover up the Nike
sign. Cover the logo, yeah.
The logo. And that's the last thing they want because, number one, they're paying you.
Draw it on the outside.
They're paying you in, exactly. You know what? Yeah, absolutely
did. Did you really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Because I said, I talked to my guys, like, I have to keep spatting my ankle for at least another week or two because that thing's killing me. He's like, all right, just don't do both ankles because it looks better. It looks cooler if you do both ankles. So I just did the one ankle that was hurt. I got away with it for a few more weeks and hopefully, I would imagine he'll have it spatted up again this week because he played so much and so hard. And then maybe a week or two, he'll get out of that thing. But that's what spatting is, for those of you that are not aware.
I wasn't. And there's something else I wanted to ask you about. And we'll get to that in a second. But the other, of course, positive nod goes to Thomas Morstead, punter. His first game with the Falcons gets NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
He had three punts inside the 20-yard line.
Yep.
Which is huge when you're playing a bad team like Jacksonville.
I think it's inside the 15, actually.
They chart them inside the 10 and 20, I think.
Okay.
So He probably may have had like two inside the 15 and one inside the 20, okay. So three inside the 20. But did a great job coming off the scrap heap as a regular Joe.
Yeah,
gets picked
from
up.
The Jets.
Yeah, we needed somebody to come in and kick. And there you go. I don't know if it was COVID. I think it was COVID related for our punter.
Oh, what's his name from Georgia?
Jeez,
yeah, whose name's, well, he wasn't particularly great either. So I watched the game from a bar in Marietta, the Wing Cafe and Tap House, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is that you get to talking to Bengals and Eagles fans, as I did,
right.
and kind of watching the game out of the corner of your eye as one TV out of many. So I watched the game, but I didn't catch something until the recap watch. They were rotating Matt Hennessy and Drew Dahlman at center.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. What are your thoughts?
It was interesting.
There?
Early in the game, I noticed Matt Hennessy get manhandled by the young player for Jacksonville. God almighty. Anyway, I don't have his name in front
young
of me.
Young player from Jacksonville, that's it.
Young player from Alabama. Nose tackle. And manhandled Matt Hennessy once or twice. I mean, Matt Hennessy was 2 yards in the backfield on a run play to the side and just getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And then at that point, the guys can't get off of each other. Mm-hmm. You can't double team up or do anything. So I think that played a factor. I think they saw that. They've also watched Matt Hennessy most of the season get manhandled at the center position, which is bad. He's in Matt's lap. Now, he's had some good moments, and he had some good moments as well against Jacksonville. But they noticed that they needed to think about making a change and mixing things up a little bit. So Drew Dahlman, the rookie from, I think, third rounder from Stanford, gets some action, and they rotate centers. It's never a good – the last position in the world –
right, you want to be rotating a center.
Is center. I mean, you have a continuity. There's a cadence. There's a snap count. You all get
familiarity
used to –
between quarterback and – yep.
No question. So what do I make of it? I think Matt Hennessy's days are limited for the Falcons at the center position.
Do you think we do that? Do you think we go there in the draft?
I don't know how – I mean, at some point, probably.
Yeah.
But you've just spent, like – two or three first rounders in the draft the last 3 or 4 years
on your
offensive line, and you're not getting the
return on investment. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Well, the other thing I text you about in the middle of the game, because I didn't, even on the replay, I still didn't understand the Younghoe-Koo 3-point attempt, and then they
Younghoe-Koo what?
There was a 3-point, they were a field goal. They were attempting a field goal, right?
Oh, yes, a field goal attempt.
So,
you said three-point attempt.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
What the bleep are you talking about?
But a field goal attempt, and then because it from like 20 some odd 30 yards out, and they had a penalty call on them, and I couldn't make heads or tails of it from the bar that I was sitting at, and I text you, and you said leveraging, and I said, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, so leveraging, they've changed this rule over time, and they emphasize it this year, I believe. So we used to be able to line up right over the top of the center years ago. You could have two guys on either side of the center.
Is this specifically on special teams?
Oh,
on
kicks? On special teams, trying to block a kick.
Okay.
Same thing in college, where a lot of times in college, they'll line up three guys in front of the punter, and you're not allowed to try to jump over those guys anymore.
Oh,
it's
I didn't
a
know
penalty.
That. Okay.
You can go through them, but you can't try to jump over them.
Interesting, I didn't know that.
So is it danger to the player, number one, that's jumping, and to the player you're jumping over, number two? So leveraging comes into play on field goal attempts. So you used to be able to line up right in front of the center and used to just tee off on his ass, and it was brutal to be a center long snapper or short snapper in the NFL. Well, they realized that there was so much unnecessary contact. They disallowed players to line up head up on the center. So now you have to have your shoulder pads outside the center's shoulder pads. You can't even barely line up in the gap anymore.
Okay.
So, but when you do that, you used to have guys run and jump over the center guard spot. Jump, you can run and jump and time it up, right? You can do that. What you can't do as a defensive lineman is when the guy snaps the ball, put your hands on their shoulder pads or backs and push yourself up over to help yourself jump over.
Right.
So once you leverage on their backs or shoulder pads to try to get yourself up, it's a penalty.
And the way the TV was, and that makes a lot of sense, the way the TV was showing it was like somebody came around and dove off the end and that's what I was like. I don't understand how.
Yeah, if you can't hear it, it's hard to understand what
and
the hell is going on.
The audio was on, but again, bar. Yeah. So
exactly, it's loud. So leveraging, that's what that is. They've tried to protect the centers and long snappers over the last like 4 or 5 years.
That makes sense. Well, thank you, Jaguars, because thank you. Oh. I mean, thank you too.
Yes,
Ben, but
just informing.
For informing. But thank you, Jaguars, for the dumb penalty. And they had another really bad. They moved. I think it was 4th and 2. And we were punting from our own end zone. And
it's insane. You can't win football games. Everyone wants to crap all over Urban Meyer for being a terrible coach. Well, those are players on the field that know the down and distance and situation and the rules of leveraging And you know when the center, the long snapper on punt's going to move his head around and do all kinds of stuff, you have to watch the football. And when you got dumb players on your team, you can't win football games. And that's Jacksonville's fault right now. Too many dummies on the field.
I will say Trevor Lawrence looked pretty good other than that one really bad interception he threw to us. But
yeah, Harmon.
Yep.
Nice interception for him. And then also we also recovered a fumble. So turnovers are huge for us.
Well, the Falcons are 5-6, one game closer to getting back to 500, second in the division, even though we started the weekend at the bottom of the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because both the Saints and the Carolina Panthers took an L as well.
Yep.
And they're reeling. And the Saints play Dallas on Thursday night this week. It looks like they may go to Taysom Hill as their quarterback. They've been riding Trevor Siemian pretty good, but I don't know how that's going to work either. We hope about that.
If I was a bet man, I'm putting my money on Dallas on that one. And then this weekend, however, we don't have an easy matchup. But before we get to that, let's do Finn's Ring of Honor.
This is the one ring.
Finn's Ring of Honor.
All right, this week's Ring of Honor, Finn's Ring of Honor, is going to go to one of my favorite coaches of all time. For some reason, I got along with all my coaches, probably because I had to in order to make teams sometimes. I was a company man.
Oh, come on, you're a really affable guy. Come on, don't sell yourself short there.
I was a company man, and my first coach here in Atlanta was Dan Reeves. He was just coming off a Super Bowl run.
Yeah, 98.
He's one of those guys, and I don't even want to say because it's not trying to be mean, but I feared him. I feared him because of who he was. I feared him because he was a disciplinarian. He also had so much respect. It was more of a respect thing than fear, I guess I should say. But you never wanted to disappoint him. You never wanted to mess up or have a mental mistake because he just hated those. I'll never forget. It was like 3rd and 3 from like the 8-yard line. And it was my first year really playing. Chris Chandler was our quarterback. And we had a play called. I knew I was going to get the ball because I saw the defense moving and this guy was blitzing over the top of me and I was getting all anxious and we were going on 2 and I didn't even think about it at that point. And Chandler's like, blue 80, said, hut! And I go and I jump offside. So 3rd and 3 turns into 3rd and 8. Down in the red zone is a lot harder
yes, it is.
To do down there. And you just never want to come to the sideline and look that coach in the face.
Because he's another one, he's more likely to give you the, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed.
That's exactly
right.
Just
like your dad would or something.
Great man, unbelievable football coach.
He kind of strikes me as the like old school football guy. He played for Tom Landry at Dallas, didn't he?
Yeah, he played and coached for Tom Landry.
Okay, and he kind of strikes me as that type.
Like, he absolutely is.
Very stern, but great guy, football guy, very focused, driven.
Loved him, played a lot of years too. Played in the Ice Bowl in Green Bay when he was playing for the Cowboys, and just one of my favorite guys of all time. I'm glad we brought him up. I brought him up because I need to call him and reach out and see how he's holding up because he's getting up there. When you play the amount of football he played and the hits his body took, I'm sure he's feeling it.
Well, he's been
today.
Definitely a personality around our station at 680 The Fan for a while now. And not, you know, growing up in Atlanta, of course, Dan Reeves is one of the marquee names in all Atlanta sportsdom. And I had a chance to meet him in person at one of the 680 The Fan golf tournaments. Mm-hmm. And this is one of my favorite stories. Of all the athletes and celebrities I've come across, this is maybe my favorite. As I walked up to him, he was sitting in the bar talking to somebody, and I don't even think he was drinking. I said, "Coach Tyler Nelson, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Hey, would you do a shot of bourbon with me?" And I swear to God, he turns to me and goes, "I haven't had bourbon since 1992, but sure." And sure enough, he took me
great.
And I and this other gentleman he was with took a shot of bourbon. I was like, and now I can check that one off my bucket list.
That's
Dan Reeves, definitely a great guy, great Falcons coach. And like I said, at least to me as a fan, one of the marquee names in Atlanta sports history. So
welcome to Finn's Ring of Honor, Coach.
Coach Dan
Reeves.
Been
there sooner.
All right, well, then let's get to this weekend's matchup. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, we've played them already.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go well.
It did not.
You think this will go any better?
It may go a little bit better. I don't see us winning. We're 11-point dogs at home.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa got back on track last week with a huge win over the Colts, where they were down early, and Tom Brady and company brought them back 38-31 over the Colts. I don't think you can score them. I think they're one of the top rush defenses in the league. Although we got 150 yards rushing last week, I don't think you can do it against that team. You're going to try, and Arthur Smith has committed to the run every single week so far.
You think we're just going to try between the tackles, some swing passes?
Everything and anything is open, man. I'm telling you, fake punt. If you want to stay relevant in the NFC, you go out there and play a good game against the Tampa Bay team and maybe find a way to win. You put yourself in that mix and get yourselves back to 500. So Tampa Bay's rolling. Defense is really legit. Gronkowski's back. Like you said, Leonard Fournette scores four touchdowns last week. That run game was rolling.
Yep.
And when they need to throw the football to Gronk and company, and I don't know, Antonio Brown's been banged up, so he's been out. He may be back this week.
Mike Evans in.
Mike Evans is a beast. The whole thing is, it's an uphill battle. 11 points is a lot. If I was a betting man, I'd probably take the Falcons and the points because these teams, we played them tough last year and we weren't very good. So,
well, in the last game, we played them tough for a while and just.
That's exactly right.
It just, you know, snowballed eventually. And
yeah, in the fourth quarter got ugly. Yeah. So.
Which is something that happens a lot to us.
So we'll see. Matt Ryan has to protect the football and play a little bit better than he has lately. And the receiver's got to pick it up. Kyle Pitts. We haven't mentioned him at all this week.
Well, he was virtually non-existent last week against a bad team. So
here's the thing. It's unfortunate that he's been put in this role. But when you're Kyle Pitts and you're 6'6", 240, and outside of Cordarrelle Patterson, you're the focal point of this offense and the best weapon since the other guy we're not going to mention anymore, Calvin Ridley's out. They're going to double team you, and their goal is going to be to take you out of the game.
Yeah. And Tampa Bay's going to do the same thing, and they have more tools to do it with, too.
So.
Well, the other thing we have going on this weekend, a little SEC championship game just down the street in Mercedes-Benz. We got the Dogs and Bama.
Now, let me ask you about the Dogs. And you're a big Dog fan, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of confidence building in this building here and in Dog Nation in general. And it is over-the-top confidence where I'm like, I get it. You're the best team in the country for a reason. Your defense is so good. It's just awesome to watch, but let's just dial back a little bit on the confidence factor.
I agree with you on I don't want to be overly confident. I think that anybody, layman to the king of college football sitting in the next room right over there, will tell you that that Georgia's a better team. Are they a shoo-in to win?
I
as hell don't think so. I watched every snap of that Auburn-Alabama game, the Iron Bowl. Alabama does not look like
Alabama.
They don't look like Alabama. They certainly don't look like a world beater. Now, I mean, they certainly are capable of beating Georgia, I think, but they had trouble with Florida. They had trouble with Arkansas. They almost and should have honestly lost to Auburn.
No question about it. Listen, they're still Alabama. You should beat them, and
Alabama.
I think you will beat them. I think you will cover the spread. 7-point victory, I think you can pull off.
Yep.
But things, I've seen crazier things.
As a Georgia fan, I'm just nervous because there's a reason or reasons or however tangible or intangible that only one former assistant coach to Nick Saban's ever beaten him. That was this season at Texas A&M with Jimbo. But that still, he's only one in his whole history of coaching at Alabama. So
I'm
going to
make it two this week.
I'm nervous. But yeah, let's make it two. Big tailgate downtown at the 6A The Fan tailgate lot right behind Park Bar, catty corner of the CNN Center. Mm-hmm. So if you are... I know, like, even my father's like, I'm not going to the game. I'm going down there.
That's hilarious. It's sold out, by the way.
Yeah, so come hang out.
Come on in. Got to get your ticket on 680thefan.com.
I think we'll probably release some more, whatever.
Let's hope we do.
All right, Finn, let's have a good weekend with the Falcons and the Dogs. Thank you for listening to FinnCast. We'll see you next week.
Peace. The waves of anger and scorn. My place of refuge is the eye of the storm because
thank you for tuning into FinnCast, brought to you by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons. FinnCast is hosted by Brian Finneran, co-hosted and executive produced by Tyler Nelson. If you'd like to reach out to the show, email Tyler at tyler@680thefan.com. FinnCast is hosted by 680 The Fan on thepodcastpark.com and is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Opening and closing music by Atlanta band Gringo Starr and their song I Will Not Follow. Thanks for tuning into FinnCast. We'll see you next week.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.